When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
And now joining the show from the co-host of Pack the Brew podcast, Ryan Wendland. You can find him on Twitter at BrewPack8. Ryan, how the heck are you doing today, my man?
I'm doing great, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. Ryan, were you a sports video game kid growing up?
Yeah, I love Madden. I played probably every new Madden, spent the $60 on it, made my mom pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Did you ever play NFL Street?
No, that was a couple years before.
Okay. I've been using the bumps from the NFL Street soundtrack today. Me and Charlie have just been going at it because it's awesome. We're all hyped up for it. And I was wondering, I mean, how's the Madden soundtrack this year? Does it move the needle at all?
It's okay, but I like it back when it was like the late 2000s, kind of had the rock going. Yeah. Now it's just all rap, which mm-hmm. I like rap, but it's not as good as it used to be.
Well, Ryan, you're here on Wisconsin Sports Weekend. We're talking a little bit about this Packers game coming up tomorrow. Are you excited, nervous? Are you ready for Green Bay to get after this? It seems like if they were to win this game against Seattle, this will probably be their best win on the season. Am I wrong for saying that?
No, I'd say you're right. I'm excited, but I'm also really nervous because I know that if they lose it, they still have a good chance to make the playoffs, but it could definitely hurt the chances a lot.
Looking at the injury report for these two teams, this is Charlie Youssen here on Wisconsin Sports Weekend. We don't have Jaire Alexander playing in this game, mm-hmm. but you do get Romeo Doubs back. You do get Ejiron Cooper back. Do you think the players coming back outweigh the losses, or does Romeo Doubs, Ejiron Cooper not really move the needle for you?
Those are both good players, and I'm happy are back with the team. But Jaire out again hurts them a ton. And this all goes back to the draft, not drafting a CB. If that was Cooper, look how good he's doing with Philadelphia, not adding a new CB at the deadline. They need to make that move because they knew they did not have a healthy CB this whole time. And now who's out there? Stokes and Valentine. It's just not a good defensive backfield for the Packers.
I want to ask here, Ryan, the Green Bay Packers, it seems like this year the two guys that you can really tell made a difference on the season are Josh Jacobs, McKinney for sure, but he wasn't a part of this mm-hmm. argument, Josh Jacobs and Malik Willis, right? These are guys that saved the season for Green Bay. Are we still waiting for Jordan Love to have that game or be that guy? And is this a good opportunity for Jordan Love on a national stage against a really good team to take that moment and really prove some doubters wrong that he is the guy. I don't think there's a lot of people asking for Malik Willis to take his job, but I want to know, like, should we still be expecting the Jordan Love game at some point this season?
I'd say it's fair to say he's played well this year, but at the same time, you can criticize him a little bit. One, because of the interceptions, which you can live with. We lived with it for, what, 20 years with Brett Favre, yeah. So we're used to that side. But he also hasn't had that game as in this year. He had it last year against Dallas, obviously, but he hasn't had it this year. So I'd say that's more than fair because this is one of the MVP favorites going the year, and he just hasn't been that guy. He's been really good, but he hasn't been that guy. So I'd say he needs that game still.
Talking with Ryan Wendland of Pack the Brew podcast here on Wisconsin Sports Weekend. Ryan, going back to Josh Jacobs, he's been phenomenal this season. He's been the workhorse over these past few weeks for this offense. Moving and looking forward to next season, do you see them running the same kind of game plan if Josh Jacobs is back or with a different running back? Or do you see them kind of transitioning to more of a pass-focused offense with Jordan Love after that contract, after seeing what he can do this year in a role where he's kind of limited to some degree by the play calling by Matt LaFleur? Do you see him becoming that star that we were expecting to see this season next year?
Oh, that's a good question. I think as long as Josh Jacobs is there, they'll try to focus really heavy on him. But if Jordan Love is back to 110% healthy, I'm still not sure if he's back to fully healthy. He's up there, but I'm not sure if he's 110%. Then you could see definitely a lot more Jordan Love next year. And again, I'd expect him to be one of the MVP favorites going into 2025.
I have this take here, Ryan, that the Green Bay Packers are in some sort of purgatory right now. You don't know if you want to put them in the elite tier, but it feels like they should be a tier above Seattle and a tier above the Washington Commanders. Do you think that this game can move them into a different tier after this week? That obviously if a loss to Seattle happens, they'll be below Seattle in the national landscape. But a win here, does that elevate them into high expectation, deep playoff run success tier in the NFL?
I feel like Packer fans have such a variety of expectations for this team. Some are saying, yeah, let's go win the Super Bowl. Some are, yeah, we're one and done. Some are saying we're not even going to make the playoffs right now. So it depends on who you talk to for the expectations. I'd put them at the second tier below, like, the Lions and Eagles and Chiefs, Bills. And I don't know if they'll win over Seattle to that top tier, but I'd say the expectations would definitely get higher if they go and beat Seattle on Sunday.
Do you think they're in the same tier as the Minnesota Vikings?
Yes.
Mm.
I know they beat us at Lambeau. I know they're up 28-0 on us. I still believe we're better than Minnesota.
Looking at this defense, it seems that they're one of the better teams in the league when it comes to turnovers, comes to actually stopping the run, which I think people are surprised by. But they're also one of the worst teams when it comes to passes beyond 10 yards, in the middle of the field, kind of outside the numbers. Do you feel like this defense is really actually improved and a Super Bowl contender-style defense compared to last year's under Joel Berry?
Yeah, anytime you can subtract Joel Berry, you're better. You add Xavier McKinney, it's definitely better, but if the Packers go and win a Super Bowl and make a deep playoff run, I wouldn't say it's going to be because of the defense.
Why do you say that, Ryan?
I think Jordan Love and Josh Jacobs are the ones that are going to take it over, and they're the ones that are going to have a shootout-type win in a playoff win.
Do you think the defense can be the reason why they lose the playoffs, though? Losing the playoffs?
I wouldn't say it's the same as, you know, what it was with Aaron Rodgers, where they were giving up 45 points a game. I'd say it would be a good team effort lost. I'd say a lot of blame to go around to lose a playoff game.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Well, let's get into a different team with maybe some expectations here. It's Wisconsin Sports Weekend live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios. Tommy Wirtz, Charlie Usen here with Ryan Wendland of BrewPack 8 on Twitter. Big trade yesterday in Milwaukee. Devin Williams moving on to the Yankees. The Brewers, in return, getting Nestor Cortes, and they also bring in Caleb Durbin, a middle infielder or a utility infielder, I guess, to be played anywhere. What was your first thought on the deal? Did you feel like the Brewers got fleeced? You felt it was a lateral move? You feel like they won the trade in the moment? What's your initial reactions to Devin Williams moving on?
It definitely wasn't what I was expecting to get back. I was expecting to get more, but I'll be honest, I'm very guilty of overvaluing my players. I think they're worth more than they always get. But looking at it, doing the research on the guys, I thought they did fine here. I still thought they could have gotten more, but I'm not the ones taking the calls, the ones who knows what were offered for Devin Williams. They needed a starter in Nestor Cortes. Go and look at the starting market. Luis Severino got $75 million. You're looking at these back-end starters are getting 3-4 year deals. And, you know, you look at Garrett Crochet, look at the trade market. Two top 50 prospects for him. Yeah, the Brewers are serious about him. But, and obviously, Nestor Cortes is not Garrett Crochet. I'm not trying to say that in any way. But it's an inexpensive starter that the Brewers needed. So I like getting Nestor Cortes. And then Caleb Durbin's the one that I'm really excited about because he's versatile. The Brewers love those guys. He steals bases. He gets on base. Love both of those. I know that's not the modern game, but he broke the Arizona Fall League record. He's a great defender, and he just has Brewer written all over him. I thought the Brewers did fine in this trade.
With Juan Soto signing with the New York Mets, it seems like that was all the MLB odds makers needed to set the lines for these divisional races. They put the Cubs over the Brewers in their rankings, saying that the Cubs should probably win this division. The Brewers made a big trade yesterday with Devin Williams, but then the Cubs followed that up by making an even bigger trade. Do you think this Brewers trade helps keep the Brewers still in that conversation with the Cubs, or did the Cubs completely win the division by trading for Kyle Tucker?
Kyle Tucker is a great, great, great player. I think he's been one of the more underrated players in baseball. The Cubs got better yesterday. It takes a lot out of me to say the Cubs did something good. But, listen, we see it all the time with Vegas, the odds. The Brewers are never the favorites to win the division. What do? They go and win the division pretty handily, too. So, yes, the Cubs got better. The Brewers, you could say got worse. You could say got a little bit better. It depends how you want to look at it. But the Brewers are in the same conversation with the Cubs, with the Reds. I think this entire National League Central, and we mention it all the time on the podcast, back the Brew, that all five of these teams have an argument to go and win this division.
Do you think that right now, when you look back at the other trades that they got with Josh Hader, what they got with Corbin Burnes, what they got now with Devin Williams, is it fair to compare these deals together and think, okay, they did all right. They added pretty much the exact same return for Corbin Burnes, getting a lefty starter that's MLB ready and a prospect of an infielder that can play just about all the positions. And did you feel that the Corbin Burnes trade worked out all right last year? Is it fair to think that you can feel the same way about Devin Williams' trade?
I'd say the Burnes trade worked out pretty well. I'd say Jory Ortiz was, at least in the first half, in the rookie of the year conversation. And then, of course, you know, Paul Skeens did what Paul Skeens did. Jackson Merrill had a great year, obviously, for Rio. And Ortiz kind of, I don't want to say fell off, but he had an above-average year. And you'll take that. DL Hall, we still don't know what we have in him since he's been injured so much. He might start. He might come out of the bullpen. I like what the Brewers did in the Burnes trade. I was very, very critical in the Josh Hader trade when that went down, but of course that got us William Contreras eventually, so that one worked out well. I've learned that no matter how you feel about a Brewers trade, just let it settle, because Matt Arnold, or if it was David Stearns, they knew what they were doing, and almost every time it's worked out really well for us.
The Brewers were reportedly in on Garrett Crochet, who ends up getting traded from the White Sox to the Red Sox. Mm-hmm. And then after he gets traded, it comes out that they weren't even one of the top five teams. At what point are the Brewers good enough to actually be in those conversations? And when do you expect that to happen?
You know, I don't know if I ever expect them to go and get a player like Garrett Crochet. And it's happened. It's happened for them to go and mm-hmm. get the blockbuster move. It's not like it's never happened before, but I wouldn't say I ever expect it, Because you go and look at that trade, and the Red Sox, my goodness, they give up a lot. And I'm not saying Crochet wasn't worth it, but they give up a lot in that trade. I think the Brewers would have had to give up Jesus Madé. If you don't know who that is yet, 17-year-old.
You should know.
Yes, you should know. Some are already saying he's the number one prospect for the Brewers, top 50 prospect in baseball. He is going to be incredible. The Brewers did not want to part with him, as they should not have. And Crochet, great, but also some injury history. It just isn't a Brewer-type move. If you're going to go and get someone that costs that much, you better be darn sure that he's going to start every time he's out there.
Here with Ryan Wendland of Brew the Pack podcast. Ryan, I have to ask you, I see when you look at your Twitter, your banner, you got Badgers basketball in there right now, too. Do the Badgers know how good John Tonji is, or do they still just not think that he's a difference maker and they probably valued AJ Store last year more than they valued John Tonji this year?
Well, I'll tell you that he's better than Store, and that's not a shot at AJ Store at all. He's a great talent, but his basketball IQ was the problem. You just kind of jack up shots, and I think the Badgers upgraded there. But the Badgers also just don't seem to realize how good John Tonji is, and I don't understand why they're not using him to succeed a little bit more.
I do see your Twitter, and I feel your pain all the time, and I love that you can express your pain in a way that relates to me very well, like a good song, a cry over a breakup or something that your Twitter seems to bring me some joy in being able to be that I'm not the only one that has these irrational thoughts that I want to scream at my television when a Wisconsin sports team is playing. Ryan, why don't you go ahead, plug your stuff. Where can we find you? Where can other people get in touch with you if they want to hear you more?
Yeah, first off, the podcast, Pack the Brew. Go listen to that. That's all Major League Baseball talk. Twitter is the main game for me, at BrewPack8. A little bit on Instagram, just Ryan Wendland. And then TikTok's the same, Ryan Wendland also. I try to post whatever I can on there, but Twitter is the one where if you want to talk to me, that's where I'll talk to you back.
All right, perfect. Ryan, thanks for joining the show. We'll have to have you on again sometime, hopefully with some good news and not us just screaming on the radio together.
Absolutely. I appreciate it, guys. Thank you.